to anybody. It's on the YouTube. You can come in, and I post the link so you can go to the website and come in. So yeah, it's absolutely open and available to all people.
Yeah, we have got some new people that way.
Yes.
Except my one friend.
Oh, your friend?
I have one guy. He would be difficult to handle.
Oh, well, we can handle anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Does anybody know anybody who got the virus yet?
I don't. I'm not sure. I haven't checked with everybody, so I don't know. What about you, Keith? Do you know somebody?
Had one friend, her parents got it, but they got through it. They were fairly old. I guess they got through it okay.
Well, that's good.
So I guess we're officially starting?
Yeah, you can ask.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I haven't got a question yet.
Okay.
But I thought I'd put it out there that we are.
Yeah, if Andrew shows up, he shows up.
He can join anytime, you know.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I guess I would ask, John, just advice on keeping mind on track of awareness instead of getting caught up in the illusion.
Mantra. Because then you're not creating a sense of a separate doer trying to do something other. And just remember, yeah, you're not body. So every thought is about body. There can be no thought about your formlessness. It's not possible.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't ever thought about that.
Do you believe, like Kathleen and me were discussing, getting same point?
Yeah, you're formless, and truly, none of this form-based existence is true, because you're formless. You're formless right now, you were formless before this body-based existence, and you'll be formless after this body-based existence. You're the unchanging in which all these changes are occurring. None of it's true. There's no Trish, Kathleen, John, Rami, Keith. There's none of that, because you've never become a form. You're formless. This is kind of the dream, you know? There's no reality to it whatsoever, but you have to find this for yourself. And that's why I say mantra, because mantra erases all this body-based illusion slowly, silently, and permanently. Because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain a body. You know this, like Maharaj says, even intellectually speaking, you know, someday or other, you will have to leave this body. How you were prior to beingness and how you'll be after leaving the body, that's the reality. How you're appearing to be right now is the illusion.
Actually, a mind-constructed identity.
Well, even again, that we can, if we go into the body-based illusion, we can think of all kinds of descriptions of the body-based existence.
Right.
That is not true. But that's why prior to beingness, prior to this whole experience, you are. After this experience, you are. But there'll be no experience, no experiencer, because you're not a body. All this body-based existence is untrue. Everything you've ever learned within this bubble of illusion, called the consciousness or the I am, whatever you want to call it, is untrue. It's absolutely false. And now, knowing this, do your job, do your duties, you know, go to the grocery store and buy some groceries so you can feed this body. But know that if you stop feeding and watering this body, it's gone. That's it. That's why they call it a food body, because it's a lump of goo that when you provide it with food and water, it grows, much like a plant, much like a tree, and any grass. That's why they, you know, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when you understand that you're about as worth as grass, you know, in just, it's a form that grows. You're the energy or the power that creates the growth, but you're formless. All of the form is illusion. It's occurring within you, not you in it. Now you do get to see inside the form-based illusion while you're using, as Kathleen said before, the telescope. Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the example of a telescope. You're using this as like a telescope to peek inside and see in the illusion. But the illusion is illusion because you're formless. You are not body. You were not body. You are not going to remain the body. Body's not your identity. You're the formless holder of the body. You can't even really call that because you've never experienced this body-based existence. And Maharaj says there's no experience, no experiencer. The space in this room is not having an experience of this John within it. And yet, if the space was able to identify or click, as Maharaj says, with this body that's within it, it would say that I am within the space. All the body-based knowledge is useless. And as Maharaj says, it's the map that got you to where you are, your final destination. All the spirituality, everything you've ever done has brought you to this point so you can know yourself in a real sense. And that's it. You can identify yourself as presence. You can identify yourself as the formlessness in which all this form is occurring. You can pay attention to the space in the room rather than the objects within the room, or the space between the different objects in the room, and know that that's your own self.
We got Andrew now.
Yes, yes. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, good, good.
Get this in here.
Yeah, I was worried I didn't see you at first. I thought, I hope Andrew's gonna come.
Actually, I tried to use my other computer, and I was outside. I was going to sit outside and connect with you guys, and it wouldn't do it. I don't know what's wrong with my computer anyway, so I had to come inside.
Okay. And we're not going to see any beautiful Sedona?
Not in my neighborhood.
Well, maybe someday.
Well, they have, well, my neighborhood, we don't have mountains around us, but I mean, right down the road, there are some nice mountains to look at, but no, that's all we have next door are just trees and some houses and, you know, some of the neighbors outside talking and so forth. So actually, it's better that I'm inside.
You can eavesdrop on some interesting stuff.
Thank you.
So when the presence clicks with the body, it forms a kind of deception, I guess.
When you begin knowing yourself, previously you didn't know yourself. Now you know yourself. When you know yourself from this limited perspective, from this wrong perspective, in which then you're using the mind, the ego, and the intellect that came along with this body, and you're perceiving everything through the point of view of being a body, mom and dad, and you, you know, your friend, and you, eating, there's food, and you. So you lose, as Maharaj says, you have to refresh your memories of I'm formless. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Because the moment you know yourself, you say, oh, then mom says, okay, this body is labeled John. And because this that you are in mom is labeled mom, and now you're labeled John, you believe in the illusion of separation, and you begin living your life as this separate something. Of course, then this fear comes of, I can die. And that doesn't matter whether it's human being or dog or pig or cat or horse or fly, or as Maharaj says, ant. The presence in the body wishes to preserve itself because now there's a knowing, oh, I exist. But that sense of existence, you were prior to the sense of existence. For that sense of existence to appear, you had to be there. Otherwise, who would know I exist?
It's like the the perspective puts an impression on,
yes,
on the openness that's there.
All body-based knowledge is impressed by using this body. That's why Maharaj rightly says, all the knowledge that you've acquired using this body is only within the illusion being this world that you're seeing, because you could only see this world after clicking with the body. So it's not true. And yet you say, I'm this person. And, you know, and like Maharaj says, many people, they say, oh, I've been on this spiritual journey for 30 years and I've had this guru and that master. But this is not true because you're not an individual. You believed yourself to be an individual. And then you went to the master who said, I know I'm not an individual. And by the way, you're not either. And then you have to have full faith and trust in this master. Otherwise, you go roaming around because, see, you as an individual desire experience because that's really all you know. After you knew yourself, you went on this journey of experiences. And gathering experiences is what the mind likes to do because you get to say, oh, this is good experience. This is bad experience. Wow, I feel this amazing feeling. I want to feel it again, which brings in desire and the pain and pleasure principle. All in the body. Based illusion. So it's all false. And that's why if you sit there and you say, oh, I feel like I'm enlightened now. But no, because enlightenment is just a concept within the body-based illusion. You are the formlessness. That's why Maharaj rightly says, you're already realized, you're just not paying attention to the realized state. The realized state is prior to beingness. Prior to body, prior to I exist.
I read an interesting comment by a guy today. He said you can actually only know yourself.
Actually, you can only know other than yourself. You are yourself. So... You need like a mirror to be able to even see your face. You can't, right now, if you're looking ahead, you can't see your face because you're kind of one with your face. But if you use some object that is a mirror that reflects your face, you're able to see yourself. Or like we're doing now, you could see yourself within that little box. I mean, Keith can't because he doesn't have his camera, but you know what I'm saying, his example. Keith is like, I cannot see myself in that little box.
You mean?
Yes.
Kind of flat black.
Yeah. But yeah, you can only be yourself. And that's why after the sense of presence has come, you'll know, oh, I'm sensing this presence using body form. That presence is myself. Without this duality, I wouldn't know myself. But now, since the illusion of duality is impressed through this body-based existence, I can know myself. And now you can know yourself in a real sense without body form. And it's direct because you're not using the senses of the body to know yourself.
But maybe that's what he was meant was you can only know yourself directly with no separation.
The exact, well, you know yourself as the sense of presence. And you can only know that in the body-based illusion of duality because it's you and this presence. You're using this object as a body, as a medium, so to speak, or like a tuner to sense your presence. That's why they talk about the deer and the fact that the deer musk chases itself, and but because the aroma is arising. Well, the presence is arising through the body form, which is noticed by you, the formlessness. And within the body-based illusion, then, you can know yourself in a real sense. But you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. Now that you have this understanding, then use this body, but you know you're not in this world. There is no John having a life, so whatever is happening in the moment is just happening, and it's not happening because this body-based illusion is just that, illusion. The illusion of experience is impressed through the concept, I am a body.
I noticed last couple of days it seemed like I was kind of like able to stop thinking in a sense that the thoughts were not leaving an impression that that anything exists according to the thoughts. It was just like I don't feel it quite as much today, but it seems like there's something going on where...
These are good progressive steps. The more you remain with your selfless self, the deeper you go into selfless self, the more you will realize, oh, so that I am that. The sense of presence is felt through body form, but that's all there is. The entire body-based illusion is not true. You're formless. You can know yourself through the body-based existence. Oh, I have this body that I can know myself. I'm the presence, which is the space in this room, which suddenly understands I exist because there's a body here. And I can sense the space in the room and say, aha, okay, at first I thought I was this body, but now I'm more subtle because I can observe the thoughts and all of these things. And then I say, oh, so I'm everywhere in every being. There is no limited identification as John in a body. I'm actually the space, and not just in this room, but in all the rooms, permeating everything. But I'm using this particular instrument in this moment to know myself.
John, if we're conscious when this body dissolves and we're aware of our selfless self, and we may be intoxicating the selfless self, and then the body is no longer able to hold this energy, so then we're feeling, as we're dying, as this body's dying, we're feeling that sense, the intoxication of the selfless self. And then the body no longer holds the energy. And then what is it? Lights out? Because we're only conscious because we have the awareness or the selfless self or the space or whatever, is we know ourselves because we are know ourselves through the body. But when the body is no longer there, we won't know ourselves, but we'll the energy, the selfless, the what we were before we were born just goes on. But we are feeling it to we're feeling it until the body no longer is able to sustain it, and then we're not going to be conscious anymore. Is that right?
Well, and remember, there is no us right now.
Right, right.
We're experiencing the illusion, and we want to experience the illusion anymore. The experiencer will no longer have objects of experience. There will no longer be the illusion of experience because there will no longer be the concept of a body in a world. However, what you're speaking about, Len Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it's the bliss of the final moment. And if you're knowing yourself in a real sense, and there's no thought, I am dying, then it is the selfless self-intoxication until it's not. But you won't know when it's not. Just like when you go to sleep, the moment between the line of sleep, dream, and deep sleep, you just easily fade into it. You don't know that deep sleep is like a death, but you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, okay, I had a nice sleep. But as you're feeling yourself and the bliss of the selfless self, this selfless self intoxication, without thought of I am dying, without the pressure of being a body that's dying, without a world that's being dissolved, you just are. In this moment, it's the same.
Ramana used to say, well, it happens every night when you go to sleep, so don't worry about dying.
Exactly. That's what we're like.
So you feel, so you're feeling the bliss, and then you're not going to see a great light or anything?
I see, but if you have the body-based illusion, you're speaking from a body perspective of an egoistic separate self that wants to continue. There's no, I mean, even in this moment, if this body were to suddenly lose power, there'd be no knowing of this. So
no,
it's only the concept of there's someone or something that's dying or continuing or that is eternal, but all of these are body-based concepts. This entire illusion of experience is untrue. It's an illusion. So the mirage, when it's seen as a mirage, is no more, but it never was. It was only the appearance of it appearing true for a time. But in this moment, there's no impression of body. There's no anything that says, I'm in this limited form. So when this form is gone, I am. I know this. So whether this form is here or not, I am. I won't know I am because there will be no, like we said, you cannot know yourself. You can only be yourself. You know yourself through the illusion of duality as a sense of presence that can be felt through a body form. But you're formless. This form-based experience is entirely illusion because you're not a form. You never were a form.
Well, to the extent that someone still has a sense of identity when they pass over or whatever, when lights are out, do you think that some people, does the mind, if people are still believing in a separate self,
but there are no people,
does the mind continue for those entities?
There are no people.
Well, yeah, except that
just as in, no, I'm trying to say,
there are no people.
I'm trying,
yes,
I'm trying to say, just like in your dream tonight, there may be a family. And you may dream that that family is having a park and a nice picnic, and they're having a brand new baby on the way, and they're so happy and so in love, and they're just starting in their life, and you wake up. What happened to the baby? What happened to the life? Did those two, did they, was their marriage happy? Did they wind up getting divorced later? Where did they go? What happened to their storyline when you dream again the next night? And they're not there. Did they just disappear? Did they know that they were disappearing and that they wouldn't be coming back? No.
Well, the waking dream is the same as the sleeping dream.
Correct. It's the same consciousness that produces the waking
same
state
consciousness, yeah.
That produces right. the dream. It's just that because of the local identification of being a body, we believe we're laying down and having a dream and then getting up and having a waking state. But in reality, it's just the same consciousness creating and the dissolution of the universe 100,000 times, because you're not a form. And you can know this just in the dream state. You can see yourself as seeing this mom and dad, or, you know, a young couple with baby on the way, and you're a jogger jogging by. And you can even have feelings and emotions and sensations. They might even ask you to stop and take a picture. And yet, you, it's all formlessness. Formlessness creating form in the moment for a story, for a time. And we only believe it's a long time because we have these dreams every night when this body is sleeping, but the consciousness is not sleeping. And when we wake up, it's only because we're still having this body form. After this body form, then what we call the waking state, which as Maharaj rightly says, is the long dream, will be no more. Mm-hmm. And then we, as we know ourselves now, or as we appear now, will be the same as those couple in the dream. When you wake up, they are no more, but they never were. And they have no say in when they leave.
I don't know, like, whether you have been doing this recently, I mean, from the starting also, but you know, you are invalidating every state, you know, waking state, whatever is being appeared. This sense of separatedness is the confirmation that you are, and all is separatedness, seeing the body, experiencing the mind, even beingness, consciousness, whole world, awareness, deep sleep. So you are pointing the one existing in everywhere. And you are even saying that apart from that, nothing is there.
Correct.
So all the questions are coming because of the believing the separatedness is true.
Yes. Believing that you're a body, and what you've read using this body and all the body knowledge that you've collected, and you've been feeding to the mind based on the wrong impressions of being a body, and then learning that you're not a body and trying to figure out from the body-based perspective how I'm not a body. But it's reverse. You're formless. You never were a body. Therefore, this body-based existence doesn't need to be figured out because it's not true. Excuse me.
So, the one, you know, this bliss, you know, when just following your words, you know, the mind quietens, you know. This sensory perception also gone, just except hearing. Then silence comes, that's where, you know, somehow that bliss is being felt, sir. But you are saying you are beyond that, even.
Yes. Not you. Because you need a body to experience this presence or experience this bliss. And that came along with the body-based existence. That's why Maharaj says all body-based impressions must be erased in order for you to know yourself in a real sense. because otherwise you'll hold on to something. Even the, you could say, okay, now I'm the formless super causal body or whatever, but again, this is a term that came along with the body that you are not. There's nothing. None of the things that you've seen, done, experienced, talked about, lived through in any way are true, because they all came along with the body that you are not. That's why Maharaj rightly says too, that the body has a family. You do not. The body has relations. There were no needs, no requirements. All needs, all requirements came along with the body. Requirement for God, requirement for spirituality, requirement for peace, requirement for bliss, requirement for everything. All needs, all requirements came along with the body. When spirit clicked with the body and you said, I. And all of it's false. Because again, the long dream, as long as I have this body that I can see this inside this long dream, I appear to be something that I am not. But after this body can no longer sustain the essence, then this long dream is finished. And as Maharaj says, you don't want another dream. And another dream is just, I am somebody else, but you're nobody. You're everybody.
John, isn't the concept of heaven and hell is also body-based, right?
Oh, yes, of course. That's because why it's kind of...
Isn't it a way for us to kind of a resistance to the nothingness? It's sort of like, you know, the ego wants to continue, so it invents heaven and hell.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, this something that is not, this unborn child now believes itself to be born and wonders about its death. So then creates all this imagination of what will happen after I die. But you're unborn, so there's no birth, there's no death. But as you're in this illusory experience, you can say, you know, I want to continue. This is how Maharaj talks about the ants. Presence in the body of an ant, and you pour water, and the ants scurry. And why do they scurry? Because they want to protect the body. Because now you know yourself in form, and you think for the first time, I did not know myself prior to this form. Now I know myself, so I must be this form. And even when I'm the form saying that, oh yeah, I understand that I was formless prior to taking this form, I still have a lot of love and affection for the form in which I know myself. And then I say, well, then I won't know myself, because then there's a fear that the form is gone. I won't know myself. But prior to knowing yourself, you were, or you wouldn't know yourself. There would be no sense of existence to appear. So you don't have to worry about any of these things.
100 years ago, we were perfectly happy.
Yeah, exactly.
No worries.
10 years prior to your birth, there was no sadness, no happiness, no peace, no bliss, no God, no Brahman, Paramatman, master, spirituality, money, husband, wife, nothing, nothing, nothing was there.
I was reading Das Bode. I don't know, I just, this week I got inspired to, well, actually I recorded the book. And so when I walk around the neighborhood and that, I listen to it. But, it, you know, I'm on chapter 3 now, which is all the miseries of the worldly life. Then the three tortures. Yeah, it's just amazing. Everything that happens during this, God is here and God is here, he says, and then in the middle, it's just illusion. It's just, you know, and he's talking about the things that go on. It's just really kind of funny, actually.
Yes.
But it really is, it's an exhortation to really use the time that we have correctly.
Yeah, live your life as if it's a dream, because it is. And that doesn't mean go out and do crazy things or whatever. You have spontaneous action, because you're no longer creating a timeline of, oh, this is John's life, and I hope John has a really great life or whatever, and I need to do this. And, you know, still, I'm sure you save for retirement because it's something that's spontaneous in the moment. You know, you fill out a form and it says, would you like to save for your retirement? Yes. Okay. I check a box. And, you know, these are the, but you're not so concerned. You're not so worried. You're not so impressed. As Maharaj says, you don't take the touch of the world because you're formless. The only way you take the touch of the world is when you create the concept of being a form and you listen to this mind flow and identify with a thought that would normally pass by, but now it's suddenly Andrew's thought or Rami's thought or Trisha's thought. You suddenly say, oh yes, it's very important. Because you have a local identification.
Andrew. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, like I think you had mentioned one time that the thoughts are all around us. Is that correct? They're out here.
You believe because of the body base that the thoughts are like somehow inside your mind, like the mind is inside the head or whatever.
Yeah.
This is not the case. Basically, the consciousness is the world that you're seeing. You're an object within the consciousness when you identify with the object within consciousness, just like the dream character within a dream. You identify as an object within the consciousness, but the consciousness or the thoughts are actually the world that you're perceiving.
Right.
Because they're a stream. Again, this sensation, I exist, created this entire dream world.
I know Ranjit once said that what you see is your mind.
Yes.
And that is ego.
Yes. Yeah, well, ego is basically the concept I exist.
Right.
Because it's the birth of duality.
But it's really hard because it's like you get attached, you know, the attachment to experience. Like, you know, some people live amazing lives, you know, they, like some of these people that are heroes today, like the guy that fixes a million meals for the poor people. And, you know, it's hard to say, well, that's equivalent to some guy who's just drinking on the corner. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like that's the same, you know, they're in the same bucket.
Well, again, but you're not a person and there are no other people. Just like in your dream tonight, if you lay down and have a dream, the couple, the young couple who is having the child, there might be a bum in the park and there might be a robber robbing someone in the bushes. They're all you.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And you're not categorizing them as who's more important or who's less important, even in the dream, unless you judge and say, oh, that's a robber or that, look at that poor bum. But it's you. It's all arising from yourself.
Yeah, because the mind, it's your, well, your thoughts that are creating it all.
Yeah, you're a one-man show. And if you could like slow yourself down, you'd be like, Kathleen is talking. And then the homeless person, the essence in Kathleen jumps into the homeless person and asks for change. And then jumps back into Kathleen and says, oh, I don't know if I should give this person change. They might just get drunk. And then it jumps back into the homeless person again. You see what I'm saying? It's not. It's a one-man show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is only within the illusion of being a body. Once you know yourself in a real sense, then the whole thing is like the long dream. Okay, when this body's no more, I stop dreaming. The I that stops dreaming is the true I. And that's that. There's nothing. There's nothing. You don't know your existence because duality will be no more, because a duality is a concept and an illusion. Just like the mirage, the deer goes to quench his thirst until he's right up on and he sticks his nose and it's just sand. Then he knows, ooh, I cannot quench my thirst in this sand. But until direct experience, you may believe that you can quench your thirst within this illusion.
That's what Das Bode is saying in those first early chapters about, you know, the worldly worries and also the tortures of life. It's worse than sin. It's like quicksand.
Yes. Because you can so easily get lost in the illusion, you know. You can take yourself as a body, and then you want to acquire things. You forget you're formless. You forget that it's all fun. That you're just here, and that nothing's actually happening. And you take it very seriously, like, oh, what's going to happen to me? And oh my gosh, this is terrible. And what happens this? And then the idea of having to survive and the whole rat race and all this stuff, because you get lost.
Instead of having... It's so difficult. You know, that's the thing. The overall question is, why is it so?
Because you want other things other than yourself. Yeah. There are things. You believe yourself a thing, and you go to acquire things.
Yeah, the shiny objects. So
correct.
Yeah, we get attached to the attractiveness of the illusion.
Until the illusion burns itself out, like a lot of spiritual seekers, they'll say, "Oh, you know, I went after the worldly money. I went after this. I went after that. I found no happiness. I found no peace." And then, like Maharaj says, the spiritual journey begins with what? The desire for peace, the desire for happiness, the desire for tension-free life. But once you know the truth and you know, oh, so that I, okay, I've been told I'm formless. Now, what do I need to do? Well, I've been given a mantra in a sparkling lineage. It's like Maharaj says, a scientific process. This is, we don't have to try, like Maharaj talks about, the Balsam Maharaj, he stayed in the well for days meditating. So they have honed down this beautiful lineage and said, do these things and you'll know yourself. What are these things? Bhajan, meditation, mantra, devotion, selfless self-devotion. It's guarantee. That's why Maharaj says it's 100% guarantee. It's not a warranty. It's guarantee. Because this lineage, all the masters prior to these masters, they did all the work. They were the ones who said, okay, you know, maybe if I meditate in a well for 12 hours, but then they started to know themselves and okay. So then Siddhameshwar Maharaj says, no, we can cut this meditation time down. And then you had Ramakant Maharaj, who said, just spend a couple of hours a day with yourself. The masters before you, that have come before you, have blazed the trail. It's now basically enlightenment, the same as ingredients to make a cake. You follow the ingredients, you'll know yourself in a real sense, and then you'll bow down to your own selfless self using this body form as an object within your own self to say, oh, yes, master. I am at your feet. Even though this body may be moving about, I rest at your feet.
Yes. Kumar is the friend.
No? Ah, good, good. Welcome, Kumar.
Hey, John.
Hello.
So, actually, you know, recently he has been discussing about, you know, suffering. What is the... how can it be ended? Maybe as a beginner thing. So, you know, he was reading a bit of IAM, but I don't think that he's having any other background other than that.
Okay. Well, welcome, Kumar.
Hey, John. Thank you.
The main thing I would say is if you're able to observe your mind and all the thoughts that are flowing through it, automatically you're outside of it. So you just stand outside and don't make any movement. Don't allow your attention to get carried away with thoughts that are passing by. Remain as just the observer. And you don't even have to say, okay, I'm formless and all of this stuff. Right now, it's just, if you can observe your thoughts, and also, I don't know if Maharaj had given you mantra or if you have any no. such thing. No, you said no?
He didn't meet Maharaj.
He did not meet Maharaj. Okay. I would highly suggest then, Kumar, after you read a little bit of I Am That, that you go to RamakantMaharaj.us or RamakantMaharaj.net. I think RamakantMaharaj.us is probably better, not just because we created this, but because it has a lot of videos. It has so many videos that you can sit there, you'll feel Master's presence. And then Master, if you have a question, you can go to the search and type in your question and it'll produce a video. And then you can sit and just listen to Master. Because the basic thing is you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. So all these body-braced impressions are illusion. All of these thoughts flowing with identification, they're not true. But until you know they're not true, it's good to sit and just witness and observe. Meditation is so important. Meditation is not just sitting and chanting and om and all this sort of stuff. Meditation is sitting with your own selfless self. While you're in a body form, it's fine. Even you think you're a body, that's okay too. You're sitting with yourself and just seeing. You see the thoughts pass by. You see feelings pass by. You just remain outside as the observer. These different things, these different images appear on the screen of mind. You just allow them to be. Don't try to change them. Don't try to get involved with them. They just flow through. And you just sit there with yourself. Listen to the videos. I don't know, bhajan, you're in India, I take it? So you do bhajan in the ashram?
No.
No? Okay. Well, that's something that's very nice. The bhajans, you can also find that on RamakantMaharaj.us. There will be bhajan there, and they recommend like morning bhajan, afternoon bhajan, evening bhajan, just to get in a routine of trying to create a spiritual atmosphere and not a suffering atmosphere. Because if we're in a suffering atmosphere, our concentration is on, oh, I wish this suffering would go away, which creates more suffering because more attention is placed on these thoughts about the suffering. So instead of that, you start to create this spiritual atmosphere through meditation, bhajan, listening to Master from RamakantMaharaj.us, listening to bhajan, and just trying to get in touch with your selfless self. Because truly, you are selfless self. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. All of the body-based experiences, all of the body-based knowledge, everything you've ever known or learned, felt or experienced is all because of the illusion of being a body, which you are not.
Thanks, John.
Jaguru.
He was my lecturer, sir. My undergraduate.
Oh, good, good. And now that we know we're not a body, the most important thing is experiencing every moment I am formless. This thing that appears so important is not. I need to just take the touch very lightly and do what needs to be done using this body in the moment. And then I forget about it. Everything is pick up the water, drink the water, put the water back down. I'm not thinking about the water 5 minutes after having drank the water. nor am I obsessing about my next drink of water. Spontaneous action in the moment.
Years ago, I was I was in Washington, D.C. Doing a seminar, and I had this book. I think it was Gerard May, if I'm not mistaken, but it was about addictions. And he's, you know, he was writing about addictions, and he said he just gave a list of addictions. I mean, it was just amazing the addictions that people can actually have. You know, fishing, smoking, you know, you name it. It's just. But he said that probably the most difficult addiction to break was self-identity.
Yeah.
And I think the most addiction, maybe probably the greatest addiction, is life in the body. I don't know. That might be a real addiction. I don't know.
Well, turn that around and the presence. I mean, in the beginning, prior to knowing yourself, presence is really strong. As it grows, it's like the best drug on the planet. It's so much peace, so much joy, so much bliss, so much that feeling of just, wow, amazing feeling. And notice that when your attention is not on other things, this is yours. Like, this is your property, as Maharaj says. You don't have to go out on the corner and try to score marijuana or heroin or go eat yourself into a coma or smoke yourself into a smoky place, you know? You can have absolute bliss with your own selfless self. Presence is selfless self-intoxication, and that's why Maharaj uses those words. Because literally, especially in the beginning, as you're just starting to experience that presence, that feeling, you are like, oh yeah, give me more. I enjoy the meditation because I can remain with myself. Then I say, oh, when I'm out of meditation and I go outside, I'm not feeling it so much. But then there are times when I'm walking and I feel it more. Well, again, because you're not thinking about yourself. You're not identifying with thoughts and flowing along with them. You're remaining with yourself. But as this experience continues to be impressed, oh yes, it's heaven. If you want to talk about a real heaven and not the fake little, you know, imaginary figures, meat puppet palace, your own selfless self, that's heaven. That's the feeling of just peace. There's no disturbance. It's just a deep, like when they talk about in the Bible, no height, no width, no depth. That's the truth. It's this unfathomable peace. It's like, and you become addicted to it. Please do. The more you feel it, the more you want it. And then the beautiful thing is, because the attention is invited of the invisible listener, who is the one who's feeling the peace and the presence through the body form, through the illusion of duality and this body-based existence, there's this, yes, more, more. Things are happening, but I remain with myself. This is happening. Oh, I remain with myself. When something really looks like it's happening, I remind myself briefly that it's not happening because nothing's happening because I'm formless, and I remain with myself. The more I remain with myself, the more the addiction gets impressed that selfless self-devotion, that's all you want. And now you can do your job and do your duties, but still, just like if you puffed on a marijuana cigarette and then went to your job and you're still feeling high doing your job, why not be with the presence, be with your own selfless self while doing the job, instead of having to use some outside material source to feel this feeling? You're just with yourself. And you can be high driving a car. You could be with your selfless self driving a car. If you can be high or drunk at work, you can be with your selfless self at work. If you can be high or drunk walking down the street, you can certainly be with your selfless self. If you can go into a restaurant and get a great rush because you love to eat like 5 pieces of chocolate cake, well, you can certainly be with your selfless self. Addiction is actually a very good way of looking at it. Become addicted. Become completely addicted to selfless self-intoxication, brushing aside all things that even appear to interfere, because you know all these things that are appearing appear on your spontaneous presence. And if you remain with your presence, then you remain in the bliss. As long as you're using this body, why not use it to have just rushes of peace and silence and just this feeling of all is right within you, and the within is also without, because it's only you. It's only your selfless self.
And does that continue when after the body drops, do you think?
There's no instrument to have this happen, no.
Okay.
As you're leaving this body, this is probably, you know, like we were speaking about, it's like you're feeling very just selfless self-intoxication, and then you're not. But you'll know that this body was the medium so you could know yourself. You know yourself. So now it's just not, and that's it. See, we keep trying to identify.
But it's so wonderful living in that awareness. It's sort of sad that when we can't feel it through a body anymore, that it's not going to happen anymore.
But it's
if it feels so good to live as the bliss and that intoxication of the selfless self, it feels so deep.
Isn't that the addiction? So real. Isn't that the addiction, the not wanting to, the holding on kind of thing?
Yeah, you don't want to cease to exist because you believe yourself to cease to exist. You want to experience yourself forever, but you're not experiencing yourself in that way. It's again, it's just like the dream.
So sorry, that bliss
though.
But you're the experiencer of the bliss. And the only way you experience this bliss is through the body-based illusion. So it's also not true. That's why you have to release this stranglehold on the beingness. And you do that by remaining with your selfless self. You know yourself in a real sense. And then you know that the way you know yourself is not true, but the knower is true, but there'll be nothing to know. And then there's no fear of death because you were never born. See, we keep thinking that we were born and we're going to cease experiencing this unborn experience, but you weren't born. So there isn't anything like this.
Wouldn't there be a sense of, I think that I know some of the saints when they died were very grateful or thankful.
Oh, you could be this way right now.
Yeah. But I mean, like, wouldn't it be like if you actually were that, you know, you came, that fulfillment was complete. When you were about to leave, it'd be a sense of gratitude that you had that. Instead of
there's no you there to experience that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally like you would think about it as if, as I'm talking, somebody comes up and shoots me in the head. How, I won't know. It's boom, finished. It's that's it.
Curtains down.
Yeah, but there's no one to know this. That's why Maharaj says there's no experience of death. How can you experience death? It's not, to have on the other side. Out of death, you'd have to look back and say, oh, that was very terrible, or oh, that was okay. Yeah. But it's not like that.
But I mean, like prior to the actual leaving the body, that would be that sense of maybe fulfillment. Or you say maybe, you know, like the sense of selfless self.
But that's here now.
There wouldn't be,
it would be the final confirmation, because you only know yourself through the body-based illusion. And as long as this food body is able to maintain the essence, as the essence is leaving, perhaps there would be a sensation of knowing that, you know, now there, but there could be no doubt.
I know what you're saying. There is, even now,
There's no concept of these things. These are concepts, right? Because all of this is inside the dream. It's as if your dream tonight, all the characters were on screen talking about what it would be like after leaving the body. And you, the dreamer, know that none of these folks are. But they're having a detailed discussion in what it's going to be like after they leave the body. But it's just not true.
You know, sir, the only struggle I see in you is mostly you try to, you know, try to point out the undescribable.
You cannot. That's the best thing.
But you know, you try to point out such that, you know, it can be whatever, reflected, same as in John Richards.
There's no way to describe, because there's anything that can be described is within the body-based illusion. And then we try to figure it out within the body-based illusion, believing ourselves to be bodies. That's why, like I said, if we were dreaming, let's say Andrew is laying down sleeping, and within Andrew's dream, all of this conversation is going on and all of these people are talking, but they're not true. They're dream characters, and yet they're having a deep discussion in what's going to happen, how it's going to feel, or what the body-based existence is like and what the formlessness is like.
And Nisarga Maharaj used to say, before one gets realized, one kind of sees his own death experience, actually. So would that mean like melting away one's own body, one's own assumed identity, right? From that perspective, Maharaj is just, because one of his candidates, it is, well, one time when in one of his talks I was reading, actually, in Ayurvedic somewhere else, one of his candidates, it is, and he was actually joking to him, did you see your own death, kind of like that. So is it like one of the experiences that one gets, you know, before one's, I'm assuming it's just a melting away of one's own body identity, right? That's the true death of oneself, rather than the passing of the body.
Exactly. And that's here now. That's available right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as we're speaking, I'm not feeling the body pressure in this form. There's no thought process that keeps me limited into even thinking about or discussing even the reality or the non-reality. I don't feel, you know, I can look at this body, but I'm not pressured in this body. I absolutely know that it's the formlessness that's using this form for a time to experience, and the illusion of experience is because of the body base. And once you don't, now there's no experience, no experiencer, because there's nothing, there's no basket of experiences. There's no perspective of I'm a body having experiences. I'm not thinking about those things. They're scenes. We talked about before that just scenes appearing and disappearing. And I don't know, maybe this body winds up going to a nursing home and I'm senile and old and feeble. And I don't know if I'll know myself in that sense. This body is going to do what it does. But I know that this body is not my own self. And it can't be. There's not a possibility that this body is true. And you know this through the meditation, erasing the body-based concepts. And because Master has told you, you are not body. So that should be it. Master said you're not a body. That's it. I'm not a body.
I know one time Ranjit said, what did he say? He said, if you know you're dead, you're not dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tell somebody to say that I'm not dead.
Exactly.
But you know what, John? It's time.
Oh, yes, yes. Very great. Thank you.
Okay, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye, Beth.
Bye-bye.